Galaxio looks over at Clark with the pulley. It's a cord. It's a pulley.
It's a long, it looks like something that you would ring a bell to call servants with, a long golden tassel.
I have one of those in my home. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I am going to activate, in some textbooks of vampire, it's called shadow tentacles. In some, it's arms of Ahiramen. And what it does is I summon a number of shadow tentacles from existing shadows, and they're pretty hecking strong, and I am going to use them to grip the cord from high up on it. So Clark can tug all he wants, and so long as these tentacles are holding at a higher point, the actual mechanism will not activate.
Cool, cool.
So first, I have to roll a hunger die to see if I get hungrier for using my obtenebration magic. Obtenebration plus manipulation to see how many of these I get. 1, 2, 3, 4. So I rolled 4 successes, which means I get 2 tentacles. And I'm going to have them both come out from... You said the cord is up by the stage where there were like the pillars.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say one tentacle is going to come from each pillar because we're in darkness when we're not in literally these beams of light. One tentacle from each pillar, and they're just going to hold the cord up at the top. And so I will have to roll if something is going to fight them, but it's a pretty strong roll. So
right. Lower down, the beams of light are lighting the midway point of that, but...
The beams of sunlight?
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's the beams of sunlight. We're passing through them, but they are now covered by burning rats.
For clarity, I'm holding pretty high up.
Yes.
So even if the beam of light were to come through the rats, come through beam rat. Of light or rats, I'm holding up pretty high.
You feel a really pathetic tug from Clark, who looks up, wrinkles his nose, and then begins to make a beeline for a side door.
Oh, Jesus.
Magdalena runs up to Clark, and I'd like to use a dominate skill.
Yes?
Clark, you need to reseal the windows and make the sunlight go away. So that's a... With dominate, so I have cloud memory, mesmerize, and submerge directive. So do I have to...
So submerge directive is when you give someone an order that is going to be triggered on like a code word or something later. Cloud memory is when you want to tell to make someone forget what's just happened. I think you're just giving him an order, right?
Yeah, I'm trying. Well, can I just give him an order using dominate?
Yes. Yeah, okay, an immediate order. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have to use any of the advanced powers. Just dominate manipulation.
Great. And I'm going to spend a willpower to reroll. 4 successes.
You are deadlocked. He is staring back at you, and you see he begins to cry. You can feel the hold this woman has over him, pressing back against your supernatural control. And he says, Mina was the very biggest. You have to understand. She was up there with Clara Bow and Herta Neumann. One of the biggest. And this man, you can tell while controlling him, this is a man, a ghoul, but a man, is simply weeping and staring at you, resisting with all the force in his personality. It's all he can do to not do what you told him to.
Oh, Clark, don't you know that Judy Garland was ever so much better? Can't you just hear the sound of somewhere over the rainbow?
Are you trying to break his mind right now?
Well, I'm just trying to make him realize that Myrna's not the best and he needs to do what I say.
Yes, that is from your perspective what you think you're doing. Roll dementation manipulation because you are at a deadlock with him and there is no way, having served this woman for so long, that his personality, I mean, if you had rolled better, it may have happened.
There's no way. If you were better at this game, maybe, but that's not the case.
There's no way.
But yeah, in this moment, the only way to get him to change his mind is to break it.
I would like to say, as this has happened, as soon as that song runs through his ears, he sees a memory of a picture that Myrna threw on the floor. It was a picture of Judy Garland, and autographed in her writing, it said, to my idol Myrna. And Myrna had written over it in lipstick, whore.
I got a messy critical 8 successes.
Make a mark next to your humanity track.
No. Damn it. No.
She jerried him.
I jerried him.
That's a little Easter egg for a different season, but I'm not going to tell you which one.
You're just flexing.
I'm just flexing.
In this stare down that I remind you is the calm in the eye of the storm. Hundreds of vampires are squirming and screaming, banging at doors, trying to get out. And
rushing into other rooms on the side of the ballroom.
Yes. As he's staring with you, a blood vessel in his eye bursts, and you see his right eye fill with blood. She worked with the best. She had affairs with Valentino and Hinkle. She worked under DeMille and Zahn.
But she wasn't the best, was she?
She never worked hard enough. She was always so lazy, so dependent on her beauty and natural talent. She could have been better than the best. What do you want him to do? You want him to immediately...
I want him to immediately raise the blinds.
Yep. And he looks at you now with mad, broken eyes and says, she still could be. It's not over yet. And he runs toward the largest image of his mistress in this room, this massive oil painting, and he takes a penknife out of that breast pocket, and he, that small, wrinkled raisin body, leaps up as high as his old legs can carry him, and he slashes from the top to the bottom, and he keeps slashing and slashing away at it in a fugue state.
This portrait was on the stage, right? Or just behind the stage?
Just behind the stage on the wall, yeah.
Cool. Well, Chesco just kind of has sauntered over and sees this man clearly in the throes of a breakdown and goes, it's neat. And Chesco looks down at the stage below him, and he'd like to smash into the floorboards very hard because he's convinced that there's a trap door and that's how she escaped.
Strength brawl.
I have 1 point in strength and 0 in brawl for, contrast.
I have 4 in both. Expanding a willpower. That is 5 successes.
You smash through the floorboards and find yourself in the ruins of the wood that you just shattered in an underground passageway. Chesco is like, extremely smart in this case.
Huh.
It leads directly forward. So if you were staring at the portrait and the man having a breakdown, you smash down. This passageway leads directly forward. In the moment that you see him do that, the rest of you in the room hear Jean Bardot say, everybody, the front door, it's unlocked. And Jean Bardot.
Nar.
Wrenches back.
Nardar.
One wrenches back. I think both. I think we see him open both of those enormous double doors. The sunlight outside floods in. All of you take one not you. You two take one aggravated damage. I'm sorry, Jamie. Do you remember when you built your character 2.5 years ago? The extra weakness of the Lysandra? It may not even be on your sheet anymore.
Am I dead?
Whereas she takes one aggravated damage, you take 2.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that.
You're immediately incinerated.
I know. I was like, is that... Well, I have a weakness that is an instant permadeath.
Yeah, you do.
It's not like you're going to do this to me this time. I mean, Scarlet might. But I'm stake bait. So if you stake me in the heart, I am infinitely gone forever and ever.
Can't be saved.
Cannot be saved. Whereas other people, if you stake them, they go into torpor.
Yeah.
I used to go to the Palm Restaurant with Cecil B. DeMille, and we all did wonderful steaks.
Shut the fuck up.
No.
Okay, 2 damage. That's okay.
And both of you roll a willpower resolve because you're deep into the ballroom. So you're not getting, it's not like you're standing in the middle of a desert, the sun beating down on you, but the sun is coming through and you are terrified. You need to get out of there. Roll a willpower resolve to see if you can.
Willpower resolve, is that my maximum willpower or my current?
I'm sorry.
Composure resolve.
Composure resolve.
Ah, composure resolve.
Nick.
Can I roll for my half-corpsed rats to leap into the hole that I created?
Is this two turns later?
This would be the second turn.
This would be the second turn?
I threw them, everyone acted, and then I started this next round.
Yeah, you can do that. They can leap to follow you. Why not?
Yeah.
Yes?
Question. Actually, I'm not trying to metagame. So I got 3 zeros and then an additional success, which is a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. One of those zeros is a hunger die. Does that count as a messy critical or not? Because I have a clean pairing of...
It counts as a messy critical.
That's cool.
And I've got a lovely one for you, Galaxia.
Give it to me.
6 successes. Wow. Clean.
6 successes clean. Great. Both of you are not paralyzed by the sunlight. Usually that first moment of getting hit by the sun can paralyze a vampire such that they might just stand there struck until they burn away.
Fair.
You are not paralyzed. However, whereas Magdalena, just by sheer force of the childlike joy in her, is delighted by seeing the sun for the first time in 500 years.
I shit myself.
And then I shit herself.
And then I shit herself.
I think your messy critical is those two shadow tentacles uncurl, and you don't feel safe because of what's within, because of who you are. You feel safe because you know you can always use others. So I think your shadow tentacles grab the nearest two vampires and hold them in front of you, blocking the sunlight so that you're in the shadow.
I love that for me.
Yeah, I feel like that's very Galaxio.
That is extraordinarily Galaxio.
Magdalena uses her fleetness to run towards the trap door. Mm-hmm. Can she grab Jean Bardot on the way? Or is he just
Jean Bardot is stand... So Jean Bardot is a toreador, transfixed by beauty. Hasn't seen the sun in 300 years.
Jean Bardot is well done at this point.
Jean Bardot, we described blonde hair. His skin was pretty pale, vampy pale. Now he is toasty. Remember he had that deep V cut?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has gotten a tinny tan. It's, in fact, I would say roasted. I mean, he's getting a little beet red. His face looks real bad as well, but he is standing there, arms open, doors open, staring into the daylight, transfixed by the beauty. You got 6 successes.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 successes was enough to resist the freezing. 6 successes is enough that you could actually approach the sunlight and get him. The process of getting him will incur more damage, and you would have to physically move him because he is transfixed by beauty. He lost the role that you won. And he's a toreador, so he loves it.
Of course he does.
But you could get him.
Magdalena goes up to Jean Bardot and takes off the scarf that's on her wig, ties it around his eyes, and takes him by the hand and runs using fleetness to the trap door. I assume I take 1 ag for that?
Take 1 aggravated damage. You have fleetness. You have fleetness.
I do have fleetness.
I forget. You can move faster. Otherwise, I would say 2 because you had to grab him and then run back. You grab Jean. Jean is a toasty, toasty lobster man.
Harsty, tarsty lobster man.
In fact, when you hold his hand, some of that skin sloughs off in yours.
Not sloughs.
Sloughs.
But you are able to hurtle down the trapdoor as the waves of vampires are spilling into the rest of the house and away from those open front doors. All 3 of you have now made it to this underground corridor, yes?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I narrated it, but Galaxio, as soon as he realizes what's happening, he is going to take cover with the little vampires. He's using his meat shields from the sun and get down into the tunnel.
You leave them up top?
Yeah, I discard them. What do I need them for?
Okay, you drop them on top and you run through a very short corridor to the other side where there is a
There is a ornate Art Deco elevator, very old style with the grate that can pull across, and it is currently up, so you'll have to like press the button to call it back down.
Galaxio presses the button.
As it's coming down,
Jessica says, "Aw, I want to press the button."
The screams up above and the smell of smoking flesh is growing, and you hear two bodies hurled aside from where they were at the top, and a lanky, scraggly vampire with hair currently on fire lands on the other side of the corridor and starts running your way with just pure panic in his eyes.
He's on fire?
His hair is on fire, yeah.
Oh.
The elevator is slowly descending. Slowly descending.
Well, one of you should probably do something about that.
Yeah, you're right. One of you probably should.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of hunger points, so I'm not going to use any more magic.
His jaw unhinges and his fangs grow to grotesque snake-like proportions.
Not one of those.
And who looks the tastiest? Yeah, I think he head first hurdles towards Magdalena.
Oh, well,
hungry.
That's simply not going to happen. Just go soaring leaps and just smacks down.
Great. That would be a strength brawl.
Yep. Look, if he just wanted to ride on the elevator, that was fine. But the minute he targets my friend, it's a no-go.
You hear from up top, "There's an escape this way."
Oh, no.
Well, I rolled 8 dice and got 2 successes.
Can I roll something for dexterity?
You catch him midair, and those fangs sink into your shoulder.
Ah, yikes.
Bit of a callback to the Betwixt crits. Please take a look what we really mean.
But he actually sinks into my shoulder.
Yeah, your shoulder.
My
fangs,
shoulder.
He just, you ever has just absolutely gnaw down on your shoulder? Just get really toothy, and you're like, why would you be toothy about it?
Trey, you said dexterity.
Delicious. When people rub their stubble on my shoulder, I'm like, what actually possessed you to think that was the move? Just actually please look me in the eyes and tell me why you thought rubbing it against your stubble was the move in this situation.
Or
dexterity?
Dexterity, what?
Dexterity.
Take 1 aggro, and you tumble and are now in a jumble of limbs struggling with this absolutely feral vamp.
Magdalena, I assume they're kind of at her feet. She's going to bite the beastie boy.
Bite Fangy okay. McFangerson.
Fangy McFangerson.
Roll the same as him. Strength brawl. Or dexterity brawl.
Dexterity brawl. Thank you very much.
I'm a lady. Dexterity brawl.
Two genders. Strength and dexterity.
That's 1 success.
This vamp is feral. His claws grow almost avian talons. And as you come to slash, he carves up and tears out a chunk of your cheek.
I'm just saying, I saved Jean Bardot's life, so it'd be really cool if he helped me out here.
Isn't he like a burn victim?
He's a burn victim with a thing over his eyes.
That doesn't define
still paralyzed.
Him.
But there is a ding as the elevator arrives and the door slowly begins to open. At the end of the hallway where this guy came from, there are first 1, then 2 more, 3 more feral, crazed vamps running zombie-like your way.
From the elevator, there is apparently a pre-recorded voice. Myrna recorded her own voice to be the elevator.
In her house.
In her own house.
That she lives in.
She recorded her voice to be in the secret elevator in the secret passageway that literally only she will ever know about. So as soon as it opens, you just hear her voice say, "First floor of 2 floors."
I hate her. All right, I'm. Can I make a move? Do we mind?
Yes.
I have to. Okay, so I'm gonna roll for Nocturne. Nocturne is an ability where I can create like a small cloud from the abyss itself. So it's not just darkness; it's like suffocating, and it's ice cold and stifling, and you can't really breathe in it. I get hungrier from doing that, which puts me, Dean, just so you know, at 4 hunger, 4 out of 5. And I'm going to fill this entire chamber with, not where we are, but I will fill the entire corridor with this abyss magic.
Suffocating, freezing, confusing darkness. Yeah.
You can, you know, if you're really perceptive, you'll be fine, but you like can't tell where you are. It is terrifying to be inside of. It's like oppressive darkness.
As the darkness begins to flood the corridor, these vamps that came down, I perhaps didn't clarify earlier, they are smoking and flaming as well. Mm-hmm. And normally it's pitch darkness.
Yeah.
You can see the flickers of flame in that darkness as the vampires are howling.
Also, I step into the elevator.
Steps into the elevator.
And I hit the button.
I want to press
the elevator button. Is beginning to close.
We can't see, right?
No, he said not us. He said
not us?
It was further down the hallway.
Oh.
You and Jean are standing there. Chesco is
tangled up
with this other feral vamp.
Can I roll to just throw him far away from me?
Throw him into the other vamps.
Yeah.
Into the cloud.
Yeah, bowling is what I'm going for. So maybe an athletic strength if I'm
going for the sport of bowling. The sport of bowling that we all know and love.
What do I roll if I want an extra dice?
Blood surge, right?
Yes, you can always roll a hunger die in order to give yourself an extra die.
And if it's success, if it fails, I get hungrier. So I did re-roll, and I landed on 3 successes, and I did get a 1 on a hunger die.
A hunger failure means you give in to your worst instincts. There's options in the book for failures that are clan-specific. And the Nosferatu, they hide a lot. Chesco, not everyone, as Myrna said, is the truest fan. Not everyone is going to be able to see the final show, because your failure is you seek the darkness. You're trying to hurl him. You're trying to separate yourself. You can't. And so you decide, just like earlier, well, you threw a part of yourself up. You're going to throw yourself into the darkness with him.
I Sonic the Hedgehog spin myself into that dark night.
And instantly impact 3 other vampires who go spinning. It's cold. It's suffocating. Take 1 aggravated damage. Magdalena, you are free. The door is just barely closing.
Fleet into that elevator.
Literally, if you didn't have super fast sidestepping and also weighed 90 pounds, you would not have been able to slip through that crack.
So Toasty Bardot did not make the cut.
Toasty Bardot is left behind.
Is this a scene long effect, by the way? Or like a...
I think for the next round, just the 1 round, but...
Yeah.
I'm not taking you out of the game.
Yeah. That's what I'm checking.
But I think it'll prove interesting, especially because Toasty Bardot has now torn the thing off his eyes. He's out of his daze, and he's banging at the door as the elevator slowly starts to rise up.
Alexia is giving him that face that you give people who, you know, when they're running and you're like, I don't want to hold the door open for you. And you just like, I feel bad, not that bad. And then the door shuts.
And as you hear him, like Jean Bardot begging and him slamming desperately against the door and as it rises up, apparently Myrna has also recorded elevator music of herself. So as you two are riding up, and as you're riding, you know, further up, you can continue to hear the screams and screeches of vampires as they just torch into flames. And just over all of it, there's just, fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
Magdalena starts singing even louder. If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't
we're here.
I... Reaching floor 2 of 2. Myrna, darling, you look stunning, and I hope you have a wonderful day. You're welcome, Myrna.
The door opens to a chapel.
Okay, so you walk into a large private chapel where there would be stained glass windows that are covered up currently by those same metal Venetian blinds. The room is filled to the brim with piles and piles of old celluloid film strips. And in the middle of the room, in basically a mountain that almost reaches the ceiling, is a giant pile and a platform on top of it, on which Myrna is currently doing her makeup in the mirror. She is wearing a new dress now, as well as being an assortment of expensive fabrics. It is covered in celluloid film, and these pieces of celluloid film drape off her dress and connect to the rest of the piles of celluloid film around. As soon as the elevator pops up, she begins to turn and say, "Clock, darling, I was wondering."
Hi. Hey, gorgeous. Can I roll a wits awareness to see if there is blood down here? She had a blood bar upstairs. I would like to see if there is a blood bar down here.
Yeah, you should be able to smell for that.
Okay, smell for it.
Well, yeah, that would be the wits.
Oh. I was like,
It's very dark in here, right?
I'm at 4 hunger points. I smell for it.
Oh, yeah. Every time you roll now,
I know.
4 of your dice are hunger dice, so the chance of a hunger failure or a hunger critical increases.
So I'm rolling 6 dice, 4 of which are hunger dice. 4 successes.
No hunger critical?
No criticals in any way.
Up on top of the thing alongside her, there is a large globe, which is open in the, like, it opens in the center, in which there is, like, a mini bar that is filled with bottles of blood.
On her vanity that she's currently at?
Next to the vanity, but yes.
But
like up the pile of celluloid film.
Excellent.
I thought I heard that whore Judy, the biggest red I think I've ever met in this industry, other than that brutal, disgusting Reagan.
Oh. It's so unfortunate that she was just so much younger and prettier than you and way more talented and ever so much more relevant, isn't it?
Galaxia takes us one step away from Magdalena. Just like a shuffle over.
You would think that with your sad little dress.
I get to roll dominate Demon Tate for that because that's going to affect her.
It is going to impact your thing. So I remember we discussed 3 potential endings. She has unlocked the potential for, I think we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. So this is triggered by the Demon Tate that she seeded at the beginning of the night.
And that's going to be a reroll. Oh God, that's 2 successes. Oh.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah, you only needed 3.
Oh.
Arnar.
This, as a reminder, you can continue to demontate each round, but for this round, yes, Myrna, you can confidently push back against that claim.
Judy was nothing but a painted, hoary, homosexual, and knows nothing, much like you, of stardom. But she stands from her table and begins walking towards the center of her podium and glowers down at both of you. You will learn. Both of you will learn. And she reaches up her hand.
And I want to cut back to the darkened corridor. Pitch blackness. Chesco, in the suffocating cold, you find a sudden sobriety to your thoughts, a sudden clarity. Something about being in this void changes you a little bit as you're struggling in this mound of mad vampire flesh.
Chesco, who in a furious rage is just about to bring his fist into the nearest mass that is beside him, pauses and says, Oh, I'm hungry. Okay. I understand. I'm just not myself when I'm hungry. I got it. And Chesco would like to activate Feral Whispers to see if there are any rats in this underground dungeon that he can summon.
So I kind of want to give this to you because of your previous experience in the void, you have a little bit of a heightened intelligence in there.
Yeah.
I want to remind you that when Galaxio summons this darkness, it prevents any sound from leaving it.
Mm-hmm.
And the darkness is only in this specific corridor.
Prevents any sound also within the darkness?
No, it can travel inside the darkness, but the darkness is just the one corridor.
Oh.
So I'll say you call out and the one rat and the family of cockroaches that happened to be in the hallway rather than like in the walls or further down do hear you.
And I say, wow, thanks. This is great. No, this is great. Love that. What's your name? Spencer. That's what it is now. All right. All right. Jesco just kind of eats it. Doesn't really fill him up much.
What happens if a vegan vampire eats from another vampire?
He can force himself to with a willpower roll.
But if I do it, I'm going to become their bond slave. That's just a me thing. Ooh. So can I just walk out of this darkness now?
There is a vampire wrestling with you in the darkness.
Oh, okay. It's still the snaky fang one?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, can I roll to just hit him again?
Sure. That would be strength roll again. You're having a grand old time down there.
Eats a rat. Fights a dude.
This is not a canon episode.
Yes, it is.
We are all going to die.
That is five successes.
Third time's the charm, Jesco.
Yeah.
This dude has been stuck on you like one of those sticky things that you throw on the wall and
classic.
Crawls down the wall.
Yeah, good reference.
I was going to say amazing simile.
Yeah. A poet, really. Honestly, a game master's job is partially a narrator, partly a poet.
Yeah, I just saw Shakespeare text me and beg me to stop Dean from ending his career.
Mm-hmm.
You finally are able to hurtle this vamp down the corridor.
And you know what I bet he does? I bet he hits a wall and then slowly descends the wall, kind of like one of those sticky things that
like
you throw at a wall.
Thing.
Isn't that good?
I think that's exactly what happened.
It's a good reference. I'm pretty smart.
I love the simile game on the pod.
And you book it down the other end of the corridor, finally emerging from the choking darkness.
How's Gene doing?
You mean Tarsty?
Tarsty.
Gene is fried and has a little, like a foundation mirror that he had on him.
Yeah.
And he's just looking in it. No, baby. Baby, what happened? Oh, I was so beautiful. Oh, my complexion's ruined, baby.
He was standing in front of the button. He's immediately shoved aside, pathetically. Jesco goes, fuck yeah, I get to press it. And Jesco presses the button. And just kind of goes, nice.
And the elevator starts to descend.
Yep.
Back up top, Myrna has walked to the center and has reached her hand up. Each of you has an opportunity for another action.
I know that you think Judy Garland was a whore and a homosexual, but the thing is every single year, all we do is listen to Judy Garland, and all the gays love her. And we all know that if you want to be relevant, the gays have to love you. And the gays don't love you, do they? Do they, Myrna?
Wow, Petraea deep quoting my therapist weeks ago in a private session.
They don't love you. They don't love you, do they?
Gays don't.
They don't love you.
Roll, yeah, demon tape manipulate.
Petraea,
final chance.
A little harder this time.
This is the last chance.
Last chance. Last dance.
Oh, good news, everybody.
Well, I did get a one on a hunger. However, I have.
Drum roll, please.
Six successes.
Myrna's.
Oh, sorry. No, it was seven successes.
Seven successes. That changes everything. Myrna's perfectly manicured fingers are mere centimeters away from yet another of those golden cords. And she freezes, asking herself if the reds and the gays control Hollywood. Maybe the path back to relevancy. Maybe the only way to become a star is to embrace gay commies.
I should have gone to Leningrad. I can still go to Leningrad. I can go to the land of the reds and the homosexuals, and they can do homosexual things. Is there a chance? Clark, where is Clark?
He's in the other room, which was not a lie, so I don't have to roll subterfuge.
She reaches down and takes one of like the blood wine bottles and just flings it at you and just screams, what do you mean?
Can I don't want to say, can I catch it? Because I can't roll anything to catch it. Can I catch it? She just threw it.
Do you still have your tendrils?
When they activate, they sort of stay in place.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it can just break on the ground and licks it off.
I was gonna say, she said she threw it at me, sort of. It felt more like an act. It felt more like a show. Like, you know, felt like a bluff. Felt like
a little performative.
I feel like a little
dramatic.
Dramatic, no. But not aggressive. I mean, not violent. So could I just catch
aggressive, it? Not violent.
Well, what's your dexterity score? If it's a 3 or higher, you can do it.
Two.
So Jamie, you have a choice right now because you could roll for a.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to roll to activate my shadow tentacles. And if I go crazy into a blood surge, guess what I'm about to have in my hands?
Okay. Okay.
Don't fuck this up to me. I whisper to the blood die. Okay. So if I roll this and it's 5 or less, I go to 5 hunger.
Which means you have to drink blood.
I must drink blood immediately. But my tentacles will still activate.
Yes.
Ah, yay! I didn't get hungrier. So I'm going to activate my tentacles, which, sorry, this is going to take me 5 years to roll all this shit. For those, for my obtenebration and my manipulation is another 3. 1, 2 tentacles, which immediately pop up, and their dexterity score is like 7. So
yeah, they are capable of catching it.
I see that.
You see 2 Lovecraftian tendrils of darkness and the deepest abyss reach up, grab the
Lovecraftian dark tentacles of the abyss. The Reds, the homosexuals, they're here already. They're here to claim me with them.
She's having a moment, and the camera pans to Galaxio, who is chugging this wine bottle.
Great. That is going to take you a turn to drink it, but reduce your hunger by 1. Chesco?
Behind.
Ding.
Galaxio, you hear. Ding. And with 1, what was his name? Crispy Bordeaux?
Tarsty.
Tarsty Bordeaux, slung over his shoulder. Chesco comes out going, I want to be a part of it. What? New York. God, I miss that city, man. I mean, LA has its perks, but nothing really is going to hit it like New York. Oh, hey, everybody.
Behind him, you hear coming from the elevator, flaw 2 of 2 mana. Just stunning, you know that?
Oh my God, thank you.
You're welcome, mana.
Oh, you talk back. Didn't expect that.
There is no further response.
New York, baby. Hey there. He just kind of chucks Toasty Bardot onto the floor and goes, all right, who wants to give me an update? Kind of went rogue there for a second.
Oh. Well, Myrna may be embracing the homosexuals, so she might not be a problem anymore, and Galaxio's over there drinking blood. Actually, I'm really hungry. I think I'm going to go drink some blood.
Jessica doesn't understand a word of the very sane statement that you just delivered into his ears.
How mad is Myrna? Is she, like, flipping out, hallucinating? Is she seeing, like...
I think you have been permanently influenced by Magdalena, and so I can say... Your alignment is going to shift in this moment because Chesco, as we know, was very, shall we say, oblivious.
Mm-hmm. We shall.
And I think he didn't notice that behind him in the elevator and stepping out of it now is Clark.
Nope.
Who heard you embrace the homosexuals and the Reds and looks up at you. And says, with madness in his eyes, that's not the Myrna I know. In fact, the Myrna I know would rather see you destroyed. And he breaks into a full sprint. Your blood, the vampire blood coursing through him, can sometimes grant ghouls supernatural abilities. And he, in the blink of an eye, is up there, clutching the golden cord, and like Quasimodo clinging to it, it begins to slowly descend. However, Myrna, as the first slats of sunlight begin to filter through, and I'll remind you, filtered sunlight does half damage, the colored stained glass windows, you no longer crave oblivion. You crave a second chance in Leningrad, where you know you'll finally be accepted. If you can just get there, you know you can make it there. And if you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere.
Bomb, anywhere.
So your objective has switched, but all of you now take 1 aggravated damage as you see these gorgeous stained glass windows. I'm sorry, Galaxy, that's two aggravated damage.
Oh, excellent.
What are you down to?
One.
Ooh, baby, oh, baby.
And it's all aggravated, so that's it.
Yes.
Yes. No, I understand. Yes. I understand the position I'm in.
You look around and you see these stained glass windows. They're not of saints or religious icons. They're of Myrna.
I hate her, and I also love her. I am her.
Do we want to take a time to explain what some of these images are?
Yes. Each of them are different scenes from different films she was in. And the one at the far end, the biggest, you know, circular window in the back, is the role that made her famous. And that was the 1918 propaganda film, Belgium! Exclamation point, which features her sitting on a couch dressed in the Belgian flag, while behind her are five burly Prussians with spiked helms all looking down at her, with the film slogan written in green glass lettering along the bottom.
And what is that slogan, Scarlett? Tell us.
Prussianed. The word Prussian with an ED at the end. She was truly Prussian.
Okay. That's enough of that. We're not doing any more windows. We're not doing any more windows. Dean is actually crying. We're not doing this anymore. Okay, so there's stained glass and it's a problem.
Magdalena, you have, I think, actually one more action from this round, so you can act as you're taking the damage before everyone's final round. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the earlier dominate I had on him didn't work because Myrna still had sway over him.
Yes.
But now she doesn't. Do I have to reroll dominate?
Yes, because only dementate is a seed you plant in someone's mind, and dominate is something that requires eye contact. I'll give it to you for Eyes of Chaos. It's unclear if this process is reversible. There is a single chord. It is unclear that even if he was on your side, that he would be able to stop what's happening now.
Great. I'm going to use fleetness. I'm going to run to Galaxio. I'm going to grab him and grab some blood and run to the elevator.
Is there more blood nearby him? I think he finished everything.
I thought he downed, because I only threw one bottle.
Yeah, it was just one
bottle. Out of, like, danger zone.
Yeah, I don't know if there's no more blood around him.
Okay, great. I'm just going to do what I did with Jean Bardot. I'm going to grab Galaxio and run to the elevator.
Great. Yeah, you run back to the elevator.
Jesco goes, oh, all right, we're doing this? Okay, let's go. Let's go, Toasty. He grabs Toasty Bardot.
Mirna, are you still up on the platform?
Yeah. So as the gate closes behind them of the elevator.
Wait, are they leaving? Are you leaving without her?
She brings Galaxio into the elevator. He hits the button.
Okay. I want to clarify.
I wanted to hit the button.
oh, yeah. When you hit the button, you know what happens?
What happens? Tell me, Dean.
You
you take 7 aggravated damage.
A gun comes out and actually kills you.
You hit the button and it doesn't do anything. And then you hit the button again. And you notice that there is a keyhole next to the button that says lock, unlock. And it is currently turned to lock.
Got it.
With your rapid thoughts, you assume, you can only assume, in this sort of Saw montage way, you see Clark standing there as everyone was monologuing, locking the elevator, preventing it from exiting, which also means that Clark may well have that key on him.
Got it. I have an action.
Okay.
I would like my two tentacles, which are still up in the room, to, like they did last time, affix themselves to the top of the cord and prevent it from being opened.
And then I want to send a bunch of rats to go grab the key off of the tiny main.
He is dangling from the cord in the... Oh, I guess you throw your rats like you did before.
Great.
That's the fastest way.
Ball of rats. Yeet them.
The Spencers fly through the air, landing all over him. He tries to beat them off him.
While still dangling on the thing.
While still dangling. Roll an animalism dexterity to see how fast they get it back.
Clark, you don't understand. I can make it back. I can. I will be one of those homosexuals. I will be one of those reds. I understand now. When I was meeting with Judy Garland and she said I was a MILF, it didn't mean Myrna is a lame fuck. It meant Mother, I like to fuck, I think. I don't know. I should have been a homosexual Judy Garland and it would have saved my career. You don't understand. We need to go to Leningrad. Leningrad. Oh, that beautiful union I used to despise. Oh, the beautiful Soviet Union. It can't ever fade away with such glories.
Wait, what's the Soviet Union anthem?
Party in the USA.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. What's the Soviet anthem, Dean? You would know. Is it the internet? No, it's not.
United forever in friendship and labor. Our mighty homosexuals will ever endure.
Magdalena just starts singing it from the elevator. Do 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 do.
Roll a dementation manipulate because I'm gonna say you're spurring Myrna to action. How many rolls did you get?
7 successes.
7 is good because your Spencers are a little smarter than you. Not only do two of the Spencers bite the key off his neck and start sprinting back as he turns to Myrna, falling from the cable. He says,
"It's all over, Myrna. During Reagan, it fell."
6 successes.
But as he is attempting to clarify what he means, one of the Spencers, and I'm sorry to do this to you, shoves itself in his mouth.
It's the extra crispy Spencer.
And he bites down, and we hear the satisfying crunch of KFC chicken. Everyone, you can get some delicious chicken over at KFC, an official sponsor of Bits Before Crits.
KFC is not an official sponsor of Bits Before
Crits. KFC. I love to eat it every time I'm on set.
Guys, stop playing around. I can barely even enjoy my amazing, delicious chicken and biscuits provided by KFC.
You know what they say? KFC stands for best fucking friend.
So the Spencer shoves itself in his mouth to prevent him from further clarifying this statement. How many successes did you get?
6, baby.
6. Myrna, I have a final question, which is, another turn is about to pass. What is Galaxio's solution to not taking damage?
Of course. Yeah, sorry. As soon as I did my last move, I knew what I should have done. I'm going to summon another Nocturne cloud in here to bar the sunlight coming in from the windows.
Yeah.
Great. I don't get hungry and I summon a nocturne cloud which covers the windows in abyssal darkness.
It will burn through faster than the Spencers.
It's okay.
It will burn through after one turn.
That's fine.
You do not have the ability. I think it's called Ahriman's cloud, which can blot out real sunlight.
Right.
But we see the sunlight crackling through the darkness as Myrna, spurred by the singing, leaps from her pedestal, the enormous dress of celluloid trailing behind her. Those few beams of light that do make it through the darkness, they're piercing through the celluloid behind her. And with your heightened vampire senses, you can see in the movement of the celluloid those films, those moments, those Prussians.
You can see Prussians just surrounding her on the couch. You can see the milkmaid and the princess, a scene where Myrna was on her knees with another actress holding her hair back and pouring milk into her mouth. You can see another scene from The Nun of San Michael, where she is this small, spindly young woman being held up on the wall by the brutal English knight, which of course was played by another woman. Just all of these different scenes of body on body, silent film glory, just glow as she not just leaps, she leaps onto the celluloid pile and with her cat's grace, slides down the pile of celluloid film, coming to a graceful fall right at the bottom.
Right by the elevator, which the rats have just brought the key back to.
Thank you. Actually, Chesco holds the key in one hand and then says, "Thank you, Spencer, and thank you, Spencer, and thank you, Spencer," and is individually patting all the Spencers he threw on the head. holding the key, doing nothing with the key.
Magdalena takes the key and puts it in the elevator.
Jessica was a little too smart this episode. Got to dumb it down.
I'm going to press the button.
Damn it! Fucking shit, man! If someone had to do it, I'm glad it was you, tiny crazy lesbian.
Yeah, when you press the button, you hear...
Floor 2 of 2, going down to floor 1 of 2.
The door is closing. As Myrna steps in, the door is having difficulty closing. It is getting jammed on the trailing celluloid between...
Myrna never got into the elevator.
Oh, did you not reach the elevator?
No, because my shadow tentacles held her in the room. What, you thought I was going to let that liability come back with us? Absolutely not, but you can try to roll against the tentacles.
Tentacles. These beautiful Lovecraftian Marxist tentacles bring me home to Leningrad.
Do 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 do.
Friendship and labor, our mighty republics will ever endure.
As my nocturne cloud is shattered apart by the sunlight and the cage of the elevator seals shut, we catch a glimpse of a burning Myrna.
Yes, as you are descending, the shadow tentacles holding you, tumbling in grotesque fashion, almost as though the tentacles are trying to invade you.
So they leave?
He's holding you back.
I am physically restraining you within the
room. I mean, you get a final, you can roll a dexterity athletics.
No. I am in the thrall of the tentacles, and oh, they remind me of that film I did in Germany and Weimar, where, oh, I was the fairy princess. It was this Japanese director, I remember him, straight from Yokohama, and I was restrained by all of these different vines, and they held me up into the clouds. And oh, my eyes, they looked perfect. They looked perfect.
She is monologuing this as her servant Clark is struggling on the floor, choking on the final Spencer. The sun is pouring through the windows, illuminating her in the full brilliance of her own multicolored images. And as her skin catches flame, the flames trace their way across the whole of her dress, filling the cathedral with fire and light.
Yes, I can feel it. It hurts. It burns. This is what homosexuality must be like. Finally, I am flaming.
Thanks for listening to Bits Before Grids.
As the elevator descends into the darkness once more, the dankness of the cellar, and reaches the first floor, and the four of you look at each other, you hear one last time,
Floor 1 of 2, Myrna. You know, every time I look at you, Myrna, you're just incredible. Hold the door for a second. Hold the door.
I'm holding it. Yeah, I'm holding it.
No, I got you. Myrna.
Go ahead.
You are just the greatest star of them all, and you know what you always tell yourself. Of course you do. True stars never die.
Can I open the door now, or let it close?
Yes, you can open the door, Myrna.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye, Myrna.
Oh, thank you. I love you.
I love you too, Myrna.
Do you two remember the tagline of that one movie was Prussianed?
Thank you for listening to Bits Before Grids.
An improvised adventure podcast.
Wow.
Thanks for tagging along to that little one shot. One shot, fun shot. Am I right? Vaccine is two shots, though. So.
There's one shot. You know, I got a couple shots when I was in Prussianed.
Yes.
I got more than a few shots when I was.
Yeah, we saw some of the shots. We saw
and,
some.
And Scarlett is never coming back to the podcast, so.
It'll be like another 2 years, and then they'll be like, oh, well, maybe we should bring Garf back.
That's a Garf.
All right. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to see a little more of Myrna and the gang, you can join us on our Patreon, where we have a little bonus adventure for subscribers. And you can support the pod there, too, which we'd love.
Remember, if you're listening to this, you're canonically attractive.
We practiced that for 4 hours, and I think we nailed it.
I think so.
I never rehearse.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Anyway, if you're hearing this, I have died in my big Viking funeral bonfire explosion, so I want to tell you all goodbye, good luck, I love you, and if this giant funeral pyre goes the way I want it to, we will see each other again. We can put on that old 40s song I remember. 40s? 50s? Is Vera still alive? I miss Vera. Oh, we should have... Someone should have embraced Vera. I would have loved to hang out with her. Vera was another one of those celebrities that, you know, she would, like, come over my house a lot, and she would, like, grab my arm and be like, oh, you're so cute, Mana. You're so cool. You're so hip. When I was... And she'd, like, try to kiss me. You know, sometimes we would kiss. We would, like, kiss, but I always thought it was, like, a friendly thing. And occasionally, like, we would, like, full-on make out. And sometimes the gimp watched, and it was a thing, and I always saw it as a friendly thing, but yeah, apparently Vera didn't. Vera got very attached, and then she sang this song about us meeting again when she found out I was a vampire, which was problematic for the masquerade. But I wasn't really into the masquerade. I didn't need that. I'm a celebrity. Who needs a masquerade? Anyway, goodbye, all of you.
But I always-